In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christos voskrese. There was a very strange thing said at the end of this gospel. The women had seen the angel. He had told them of the resurrection, the thing they desired the most. But then they fled the sepulchre, and it says, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Every time I read that, I wonder, what does that mean? There's a lot of things in the scripture like that. The scripture is like no other book. If you read any book enough, you understand it. The scripture is never like that. The scripture always has things in it that are mysteries. We just don't know exactly what they mean or exactly what their application is. We learn more and more by reading it and by living it as we read it. But there's so much in it that is mystery. And this is mysterious to me. I love the mystery of the Gospels, especially the Gospels, but the rest of the Scripture has it as well. Because it's like reading something very, very beautiful that I cannot completely understand. It's like looking at a beautiful painting and not being able to take it all in at once. So why were they afraid? I've wondered about this a lot. And I can't tell you that I truly understand, but I think I know why reasons that they weren't afraid, things that did not make them afraid. I don't think they were afraid of the Jews. Now, if they had broadcast the resurrection, there were Jews that wanted to kill them. But I don't think they were afraid of the Jews. They had been given a command by the angel, who was, of course, the representative of their Lord. I don't think they were so afraid of the Jews that they would disobey the angel, and of course, in doing that, disobey God. I don't think that they were afraid really primarily because of weak faith. That's the reason most of us are afraid. Weak faith or self-reliance, which are basically two sides of the same coin. A person who relies on themselves is continually disappointed, continually sees how weak they are. But if they're filled with vanity and pride, they don't see that weakness as such. Instead, they are afraid. They're afraid a person will take from them. They're afraid that they'll be exposed. They're afraid that there's somebody going to be smarter than them and show them up. They're afraid that they won't be able to accomplish a task, although they wouldn't admit it to anybody. That's the majority of our fears, from self-reliance and from weak faith. And I don't think their fear was because of that either. They had seen an angel that was glowing brightly. And they saw the empty tomb. And it was inexplicable to them. It was intense to them. It was powerful. It was too much to take in. Although the angel only was present, it was like being in the presence of God. At that point, the only ones who had experienced something like that would have been Peter, James, and John when they were on Mount Tabor, when our Lord transfigured, and he was so bright that they could not bear it, and they fell backwards, and they were afraid. They were afraid because they were in the presence of God. I think this is why they were afraid, these women. Because they had been in the presence of holiness, and it was too big for them. I think we should always remember how big God is and how small we are. We don't remember that very often. When we rattle through our prayers, are we remembering how big God is and how small we are? I don't think so. We're barely paying attention. Now, would you go into the court of a king and be looking at your cell phone? I don't think so. because that's a powerful man, and you wouldn't want to offend him. And yet we offend God continually by our inattention, because we don't really fear him very much. The fear of God is an elusive thing. If you are worldly, you have basically zero fear of God. The less worldly a person is, the more they fear God. Unfortunately, some people perceive a fear of God as fear of his ability and even his inclination to punish us. That's not the fear of God. That's some sort of mental illness. Because God doesn't want to punish us. The fear of God is to be in the presence of something bigger, holier, brighter than we are, and then to feel intensely our own darkness, our own smallness, and to have in our heart this deep desire to be pleasing to God, not in order to avoid punishment. That's not why a Christian pleases God. A Christian pleases God, attempts to please God, because of his love for God. And that love is mixed with the fear of God, which is that we don't want to do anything wrong, because God is so beautiful, and we want to be part of that beauty. We don't want to ruin that beauty. I was once at a lake, and I was going to skip a stone, but the lake was like glass. And it was so beautiful that I just couldn't do it. I didn't want anything to disturb the water. It was too beautiful to disturb. The fear of God is that we don't want to have any disturbance between us and God. He will never create the disturbance, ever. It is always us that does it, with our sins, with our passions, with our bad priorities. We should have fear of God. We should cultivate this, to be like these women. Now, the women got over their fear relatively quickly and eventually told the disciples. And various women came back to the tomb. It's thought that Mary Magdalene went back to the tomb 3 times. But in that moment in which they had understood that God, who became man, had taken the corrupt human body, the corrupt human stuff, and made it able to be eternal, in that moment, when they understood that, even if it was only a partial understanding, maybe not complete yet, they were filled with fear. It says, trembling held them fast. They were trembling. How often do you tremble in the presence of God? It doesn't happen to me very often. It happens very with regularity on Pascha. Every single Pascha, it happens. It happens before the Paschal liturgy, after the Compline service, and we're waiting. And I don't know what to do with myself. I feel this trembling inside of me. And now I understand what it is. I didn't understand what it was earlier in my priesthood. Every time I serve the liturgy, we are enveloped in the presence of God. There's fire on the altar, but we don't see it. At least, there's nobody admitting to seeing it. Some people might see it. And although I don't see that fire, on Pascha, for some reason, I tremble, because God has done his work. He has become man, and he has taken human flesh and made it capable of life and to be in the presence of God. For straw to be in fire and not to be burned, that should make you tremble. I think that's what was happening to the women. We must cultivate this fear. Nothing stamps out fear so much as presumption and distraction. Presumption comes from our vanity, from our pride. And distraction is a big byproduct of our vanity and our pride. But also, it really amazes me in my own personal life how often I'm distracted. Does it amaze you? Does it sadden you how often you're distracted? I sure hope so. Anyone who's distracted when they're praying to God cannot have a fear of God. In fact, anyone who's distracted during their daily activities can't have the fear of God. How can this be? God has given us such a great thing. We should tremble when we think of it. And this trembling then should cause us to live in a better way, in a more careful way, in a more sober way. The fear of God is a beautiful thing. It's not fear of punishment. I want you to understand that completely. It is to be small in the presence of what is big. That's what the fear of God is. You ever been in nature where there's something so big and you feel very small? The fear of God is like that, but even more so. And with the fear of God must come the fear of sin. Not the fear of the consequences of sin, that we might get punished for it. A slave is afraid that he'll be punished for an infraction. But a son is not afraid of being punished. He's afraid of displeasing his father. He's afraid of not being worthy of what his father has given him. That's how we should be, because we are sons and daughters of God. We are not slaves. He said he calls us friends now. No longer slaves. We were slaves. We were slaves to sin. And God has made us so that we can be completely free. It should make us tremble. That should give us fear. Not a paralyzing fear. The women had that paralyzing fear because they really were not ready for that feeling. The fear of God actually should be something that motivates you, that makes you very strong, fearless in front of everything else except God. So we must learn to cultivate this fear. Now, how do you do that? You know, I've told you many times things we can do, the exercises we can do, and those are all part of it. But I think with those things that we do must be that we understand who we are and who God is. That we're very small. That he's very big. That we deserve nothing of what he gives us. And that we have no part in him at all. We're not like him in any way except that he has made us in his image so that we can attain to his likeness by grace, nothing else. And that we are called to be sons and daughters by adoption, completely sons and daughters, not any kind of partial, but completely sons and daughters as our Lord Jesus Christ is eternally the Son. He by nature, us by adoption. If we always have this idea in our head, I don't think we would sin ever if this idea was perfectly in our minds. We would never sin. So much of our sin is because we don't have the fear of God. So you must cultivate this fear. Unfortunately, I would like to be able to tell you exactly how to cultivate this fear. But that is something that is well above my abilities. I say that there's one thing that I do know. When God is present and you feel him, stop everything and make sure that you appreciate that moment that God gives you. And aim to have those moments. Try not to be so distracted by worldly things. I guess one practical thing I can tell you is that besides serving at the altar in my bumbling way, I would say that the Jesus Prayer has been the most critical thing that has taught me some semblance of the fear of God. Because when I pray the Jesus Prayer, there's all kinds of stupid human tricks going on, maybe getting drowsy or feeling an itch or feeling cold or having an idea come in my head or something I should do, or the worst ideas are when I have these kind of negative thoughts or cynical thoughts. But in the midst of all that, there's also a certain feeling, and I use the word feeling, but it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling like a human emotion or a thought. It's where the soul is aware that God is present, and he's listening to me. Why in the world would he listen to me? And that's incredible. I don't understand why that happens. But when I do feel that, and know that God is present, listening, and there's a little bit of fear, a little bit of trembling. So you should try that. If you don't already pray the Jesus Prayer with intensity, not just when you're driving, which is very good, I do it too, or if you're on the bus, or if you're walking, or if you're doing the dishes. All those things, times are excellent times to pray the Jesus Prayer. But then there should be also a time when you go in your closet and you get your tchotchke and you pray. And you work through all the stupid human tricks, all the getting bored, getting tired, getting sleepy, wondering what time it is, all that other stuff. And you just pray. And in time, maybe not that time, but eventually, there's a certain intensity that you feel that you can't get anywhere else. The only other time I feel that intensity is when I'm standing before the altar at various times. Not every time, because of my sins, but at various times, when suddenly God is very close. And I love those moments. Those are the most important moments in my life. There's nothing that compares to them. And I want you to have those moments too. So cultivate fear in your life. Fear of God. Not because of fear of punishment, but because you're little and he's big. And because he has done something for you that is inexplicable, that cannot be explained, that cannot be understood, that cannot be justified in any way. He has made you capable to be in his presence and to be fully alive. That is a wonderful thing. The more you think on that, the more you live according to that, the less you'll sin, the more you'll tremble. But it'll be a godly trembling that'll make you powerful. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.